A draft plan that'll set the Australian dairy industry's strategy for the next 5 years will be released very soon. But what will it mean for farmers whose own business plans are entering dangerous and uncharted territory? Jason and Kelly Graham manage the largest dairy herd on the Atherton Tableland. With that scale comes challenges, particularly in a seasonal environment like the current one, where far northern dairy farmers have found themselves competing for grain with producers from across the drought-stricken landscape. Charlie McKillop spoke to Jason Graham as his family hosted a farm visit during Dairy Australia's Innovation Field Days. Perhaps ironically, she found innovation is being sacrificed by farmers under intense pressure to find efficiencies in their businesses.
Oh, farming in the tropics is always something challenging. Our tropical pastures this time of year, waiting for storms, coming into the end of our feed gap, hopefully. So, we're just waiting for it to storm like everyone else, I guess, around the country. I was very careful not to complain because I know there's guys that have been waiting for rain for years.
It's all relative, though. How quickly have your paddocks dried off in this winter spell?
Yeah, no, we didn't get as much rain as normal. We had an inch and a half a month ago, which put a green tinge to it now. And now we're just coming into, it still feels like October, really, but we're into November and just waiting for that first storm.
Coming on to Chilonga, I passed your silage pit, Jason. That stuff must be like roll gold at the moment.
Yeah, no, it is. It's always a bit of insurance to have under the plastic there, and cost of input feeds this year and years to come, I think the money we've invested in that is going to be money well spent.
It's just a picture-perfect part of the world, but the economic picture hasn't been as pretty as the scene that we're looking out over at the moment. As a young farmer, someone that's managing the property that your parents built here, what are your aspirations in the industry?
Oh, to make a profit and have a business that would encourage my children, if they wished, to come back to.
That sounds like a pretty simple aspiration. How attainable is it from where you're sitting at the moment, you and your wife?
Oh, it's getting harder and harder. We're always looking for the next tiny bit of efficiency to maybe get us over the line. We dropped a lot of stuff out this year, out of the business, that we would normally have in there for the future generations of Chilonga farming. But to get through this year and to just break even, it was a necessity.
What kind of things?
We dropped out part of our mating program. So obviously that's going to have a big impact on future generation of the herd. Herd recording, some of our management tools. So yeah, it's not a sustainable place to be in. There's always a trade-off. But when you've got to make the budget work, some stuff has to go.
Yet the Graham family has still been able to manage, I think it's still the largest dairy herd on the Atherton Tablelands here at Chilonga. How have you managed to do that? And does that scale bring any advantages to your farming operation?
I think in the early days it did, because we got economy of scale. Going from 100 to 200 to 300, you get economy of scale and you can buy better and everything like that. But it gets to a point where you can't buy any cheaper. You can't get any more efficient. So we've sort of gone over that sweet spot, and we're just sort of marking time now, trying to decide on the next phase for Chilonga. How we've got here is by thinking outside the square and blood, sweat and tears.
Your blood, sweat and tears, your parents' blood, sweat and tears, and your grandparents before that. How much does that burden of responsibility weigh on your shoulders, Jason, as the next generation coming forward?
Oh, well, it went from the family farm milking 46 cows when Dad first came back to now milking 944 today, but now it's a business now.
944 cows. Just break that down for those of us that wouldn't appreciate the intensity of the labour involved in managing a herd like that.
Yeah, so the herd size gets to a certain size where you can't do it yourself. I've got a young family and they want some time off as well. So we employ 14 full-time labour units. I've got a really good crew at the moment that care about the cows, that care about my family entity and the business. And that's how we get through day to day, is just working together as a team. Everyone has their specialities or their interests. And we just work with people's strengths to get the day-to-day of the farm done.
How many hours would you still clock up on average?
Oh, well, I don't know. I never count them. Start at 3 in the morning and finish at 7:30 or something tonight.
Suffice to say, though, you're not on an hourly rate.
No, definitely not. My wife and I, are on very minimal wage, but that's through what we have to do. Ray and Donna, the owners, are getting a very minimal return. Superannuation is non-existent for the family entities, and that's something that we've got to change in the business to allow retirement options for the older generations to leave the business and the younger generations to come in.
Not to mention reward for effort, Jason Graham. You're putting in countless hours at a minimum wage. How hard is it to keep focused on the main prize when week in, week out, you're not kind of seeing the fruits of your labour?
Oh, I think that's life on the land. It's not as much as everyone's got to put food on the table, but you do it for the love of it. You do it because you like caring for animals. You like working in the outdoors. It's all that other stuff that doesn't necessarily have a monetary value. I've been able to work with my family on the weekends. So, yeah, that's I guess we offset the negatives with some of the positives.
Chilonga Dairy may be the biggest here on the Atherton Tableland, but it's essentially a pretty small cow in a very big paddock. Overall, Queensland farmers account for less than 5% of the 9 billion litres of milk produced in Australia, which represents a significant challenge. How does the industry's peak research and development body use its finite levy monies to address competing R&D priorities? Subtropical Dairy Chairman Paul Roderick told me that recent consultation around the draft dairy plan, which sets out a strategic direction for the next 5 years, showed the 8 regional arms of Dairy Australia had more in common than the issues that set them apart. Mr. Roderick's message while attending the Northern Australia Innovation Field Days is essentially to not throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Obviously profitability is one thing, but they were really interested in industry structure. There is a lot of bodies in industry and there's a little bit of confusion around how it all works, but they want their industry to have one voice to speak for them. But they don't want to lose the really good things that are coming through their tailored R&D. They don't want to lose the matching funds from government. They want to encourage and give confidence to young people to come into the dairy industry. And not only young people, but also investors. I think there's a great opportunity down the track to invest for private investors into the dairy industry. We're seeing it with other industries. If we can get value back into our domestic market, I reckon you will see investment coming back into the industry. So yeah, it is a good time to be re-looking at it. So they went from the ground up process, met together, we're looking to see the first draft plan in the end of November. We've got a specialist team set up, a transition team to look at industry structures. We've looked at different RDCs, pork and others, that how they've changed over the years. And it seems to be every 20-odd years you need to have an evolution in your industry, and this is our chance to do that. I really hope something really, really special comes out of this, but we don't lose that regional-specific information that feeds up through the chain that we get with Subtropical Dairy and our regional development program.
As chairman of the Subtropical Dairy, Paul Roderick, you're speaking about the strength of that regional structure within Dairy Australia, but you'd be aware that there are politicians like Pauline Hanson who seem to have Dairy Australia, the peak body, in her sights. She's included in a fairly broad-ranging terms of reference for the upcoming federal Senate inquiry, specific measures designed to try and get to the bottom of how levy monies are spent. Obviously tapping into some deep-rooted frustration from dairy farmers that they're not being spent well. How do you feel the organisation will come through that scrutiny?
Well, with the current structure of Dairy Australia, I think that there's some real questionings and there's a lack of understanding of what their role is in industry. And in the Senate estimates the other day, I saw Pauline asking a lot of questions around milk price. And I mean, it's clearly the role of advocacy to go to government and talk to them about milk price. If we have a new industry structure going forward after Dairy Plan, there might be some changes in that. But currently, RD and E is the role of the regional development corporations. In that respect, there's never a problem in looking at how my industry money's spent. I've never had a problem, but I think that really, if there's going to be questions of industry that need to be well guided and well informed, at the moment I haven't seen that, and I want to see a better line of questioning around that.
Chair of Subtropical Dairy, Paul Roderick, with Charlie McKillop on the Atherton Tablelands. And you'll be hearing more about the draft dairy plan when it's released within weeks.
You're listening to the Queensland Country Hour on ABC Radio Queensland.